Okay, finally we're ready here to in Perek Beis, which is the Shlishis, the third Midah that the Torah of the is discussing. Somehow we didn't manage to get to it in the last few weeks. We're still behind discussing the Midah Hashniya. So we take a look here on Daf Lamed Gimel in the standard Torah of the Virus. So here the Torah of the Virus goes on to tell us what is the third Midah. The third Midah, he says, is Mitzchoy Lo Yeboy Koshi Klau. That, literally speaking, that a person's forehead should not contain any harshness. Now this is just an expression. What it really means is that a person's face should not show any anger. Meitzach is the terminology that is used for a face because the chelik of the forehead is something that's clearly open and clearly exposed. So the idea is, again, that a person's face should not show any harshness. Ele yidme tomid lemeitzach harotzoi. But rather, a person should continuously emulate, which is the Meitzach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meitzach HaRotzen means the divine will. That's another way of expressing a terminology for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means that a person has to emulate the display of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's consideration to everything. The same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has consideration for everything, we should also display it the same way. Namely, Shiratzes HaKoil, that a person, in fact, should try to appease all. Even if it's not a direct conflict, one that he has with somebody else. But afilu sheyimtzo b'nei yodom koyasim. Assuming that he finds, even will find that people are angry. People are angry one or the other. Yiratzeim v'yashkitem b'rtzoyne hatoiv. What he should do is, he should go over and try to pacify them. He should try to appease them with his goodwill. Why? Because that, in fact, is the way that Hashem conducts his world. That's the way Hashem is noyig. That's the way Hashem deals with the world. Sheken meitzach harotzoin. Because this is also the meitzach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the divine will, is also hu tomid roitze umeratze hagvurois umesakno. HaKadosh Baruch Hu continuously and constantly, he placates midas adin, strict judgment, and he corrects it. So if a person, as he points out, therefore, the same way that Hashem appeases, Hashem tries to smooth out everything. So we also have a chiv to try to emulate the ways of Hashem. So avhu yiratze hagiboyrim hamizgabrim kason. One should also appease those mighty people who intensify their anger. Vehu yenahalein berotzoin toiv. And in fact, you should guide those people with goodwill. The yishatev shom chochmo gedoilo. And in order to do that, by the way, a person has to use a lot of wisdom. It's not easy to try to appease other people when they are angry. And certainly Chazal say not to actually focus at the peak when people are angry. It says, al yiratzo odem b'shas kasoi. You don't try to appease them. But many times, instead of trying just to appease them, it is very possible to actually engage in certain conversation with the person and in a roundabout way try to temper the situation and try to balance the situation. But that takes a lot of chokhmah to find the right words in the right way and how to deal with such people. Lahash bishakas, to be able to nullify their anger, because anger can be sometimes so drastic and so tragic, it can cause damage. One should be able to try to placate and try to appease. He should try to see to it before it comes to a situation where it oversteps its boundaries. When anger leads and builds itself to such a mighty height that it causes tremendous, tremendous damage. And therefore, v'yaseh dugmei l'rotzon elyon. A person should therefore follow the examples of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the divine will. Shuhu nimshach min ha-chokhmah ha-nifloa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, as it were, again, we use these type of Kabbalistic terms, expressing, which means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, also, his way, his mannerism, it comes from tremendous chokhmah, b'mitzcho da'atiko, from a certain place which is called the Meitzach of Atik. It's not important for us here. U'mishom ratzahaka, which means that's the mokim, that is the source from where HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeases all types of strict judgments. So this, a person also should try to be able to build within himself this type of an attitude and this type of a hanhoge, v'zeh yimoshech, and in order for this to be possible, in order for this to be possible, that a person acquires a quality to be able to be successful in appeasing others' anger, it depends on his own behavior. If you're not a person who is actually a perfect example of someone basically whose behavior is very becoming and is something that's admirable and favorable to other people, they're not going to accept, certainly you're not going to be the right one to be able to get involved. So therefore the Talmud Vayra says is that Yimoshech, the success in being able to do this, that you yourself should be a type of person who is always pleasant towards people. Because if a person's midos, if his character traits are in any aspect, they are harsh, he himself displays anger towards others, lo yisratzu mimenu, they will not allow to be appeased or be placated by him. And that explains really what the Mishnah says, a very well-known Mishnah in others, called Sheruach HaBriyos Noiche Hemenu, Ruach HaMokim Noiche Hemenu, which means to say is a person whose conduct and his behavior is something that is acceptable by the people. People admire you for the way that you behave. So Koil Sheruach HaBriyos Noiche Hemenu, a person who is the spirit of the people, is pleased with him. If the spirit of the people, and we'll explain what it means, the spirit of the people. If the spirit of the Briyos, if the spirit of the people are pleased with him, so also the spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also pleased with him. So the kitzur, what we see here in the few lines and the few words of the Talmud Devaira, they're telling us that in the same way we try to imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with the powers of his koyach to subdue midas adin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu works to be able to contain it. The person also should be pleasant towards everyone in his own way, and thereby be able to acquire a midah of trying to appease anger. Certainly one's own anger, that's the first and foremost. But in addition to one's own anger, of course his behavior, as mentioned, should be pleased with people. Because if someone is harsh, he'll not find favor, neither by people, and will not find favor because it runs hand in hand. If your behavior is something that people admire, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu also admires your behavior. But if the type of behavior is something that's not admired by people, then we can also assume HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not happy either with this type of behavior. And we'll explain the ramifications of this idea. So in any case, so we see here the Talmud Vayra in these few lines as he talks about trying to emulate Hashem in this particular area of trying to make this pleasant, to trying to make the world around you a more pleasant place to be. And if in fact there are people who are koyasim, people who are angered, display anger. The idea is a person to acquire a mode of behavior that will allow him possibly to make a contribution to neutralize the tension that people have. And that is all dependent on his own behavior and how he himself deals with other people. It's an interesting thing to point out that the Rambam himself in Hilchos Deos, the Rambam points out and he says, the following lashon, the Rambam says that a person has to flee to the furthest extreme, he says, from the midah raw of anger. There are many, many bad character traits. In particular, says the Rambam, when you're dealing with kas, with the midah of anger, one should try to flee to the extreme. So writes the Rambam. And Rambam says further that a person should never allow himself to become angry even over things that justifiably cause anger. Because that is the test to be able to control. Justifiably cause anger, which is a human nature. But the idea of a person is to try to work on his traits, and therefore to try to control it, not to allow it to get out of hand. It is therefore interesting to point out that the Meiri, one of the great Rishonim, the Meiri writes, and he tells about a king who wrote three lines on a sheet of paper. And he appointed one of his servants to show it to him whenever he gets angry. Whenever he started to get angry, he appointed one of his servants just to slip him that note, the three lines that he wrote. And the Miri tells us as follows. The first line read, and this is what the king wrote, always remember that you are merely a creation and you yourself are not the creator. You're not the Rabbi Nishloel. to say about a particular Rav who had illusions of, he had first a smaller killer, then he had a larger killer, then he wanted to be the Rav Hamadina. So one said, for now he is Morad Asri, but he's working his way to become Morad Alma. He says, you have to be careful with that. He says, you have to realize that you yourself are a creation, you're not the creator. That's the one thing. First of all, putting you in your place, at least to know where you're standing at. That was the first line. Second line read, always remember that you are flesh and blood and you will eventually perish. So no matter what it is, it's not long term anyway. And the final line read, always remember that there will only be mercy for you in the future if you have mercy on others. So the way that you're going to act, the way that you're going to behave towards others, that's the midah keneged midah. So the more that you are able to control your anger and to deal in a more pleasant way with other people, so sometimes, of course, in Shemayim, Kadosh Baruch Hu would feel that you deserve for Kadosh Baruch Hu to get angry with you. But yet, the way that you conduct yourself with others, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Bez Hashem, will also have mercy on you also. Interesting thing is that the Chinuch writes, that speaking harshly to someone, it says, is worse than cheating. Interesting thing. The koyach of words, the koyach of attitude, the koyach of behavior. Speaking harshly to someone, writes the Chinuch, he says, is worse than cheating. The Goyin, the Gro writes, and he says, that speaking hurtfully to someone is worse than hitting him. That thing sticks in stones, you know, doesn't hold any water. You know, that it is. Hurt words can really hurt someone. As a matter of fact, if you hit someone sometimes physically, the pain can last a few hours, maybe a day or two. But words sometimes can last a lifetime. They penetrate deep into the neshama, in the psyche of a person. That's what the Goyin is telling us. Speaking hurtfully to someone, says the Goyin, is worse than hitting him. And the Sasemis says, thought of a Sasemis. Sasemis says the following. He says, you know, those days, you know, when today we're so far advanced technology, planes. You can remember when the first car was invented, then when the locomotive was invented, and when all these things were new things, people could not believe it. They called the iron horse, right? So Sasemis used to say, he says, how does a locomotive, he says, have power to pull all of those railroad cars? How does a locomotive have the power to pull all those railroad cars? By keeping its steam inside. That's how it works. That's the koyach. So you can really control a lot. It has to do with the steam. Keep the steam inside. That is the koyach. And going now a little bit deeper in the world of Kabbalah, the Chido writes in his Sefer, he writes in the Sefer Moira Be'etzba. In that Sefer, the Chido brings no lesser a source than the Zohar HaKodesh itself. As well, this is brought down the Kaf HaChaim, Rabbi Yankiv Chaim Sofer, the great Chacham HaSfardim. Certain sense, where the Mishabura is to the Ashkenazim, Kaf HaChaim is to the Sfardim. The Kaf HaChaim writes in Simen Kufayim, as mentioned, B'Shem the Chido. The Chido says as follows. He says, there are so many different averis that a person is able to do. Says the Chido, individual averis harm specific limbs. In other words, if a person does an aver with his hands, he may steal, he may rob. So it harms, causes damage, spiritual damage to the hand. Someone does something with his feet, goes to the wrong places, etc. So there's specific spiritual damage to those limbs. However, the avera of anger damages the neshama. So not just talking about limbs, now you're talking about the neshama. The avera of anger says damages the neshama. Now, meaning that when a person really loses himself and he loses his temper, what happens is that Kadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, removes his neshama and replaces it with a replica. In other words, you are not the same person at all. It's not just outwardly you're not the same person. You're now an angry person. Your whole inner makeup, your whole constitution, the essence of your being, which is the neshama, becomes replaced. And the Chidor writes like this, not just it's replaced, but an impure replica. The neshama of a person is the neshama kedosha. It's a chelik elikai mimau. But when a person loses himself, loses his temper, and allows his anger to spew forth, not only is it replaced, but it's replaced with an impure replica. An impure replica temporarily, he says, replaces a person's pure neshama each time he loses his temper. And, this is very frightening to say, I had a suffix whether I should say it or not, but upon him, you know, because Baruch Hu treats us according to our koiches, so someone will not treat us that harshly, but he brings down that all of the person's mitzvahs are lost in the transfer, because you're not the same person. And he says the process recurs each time a person is enraged, and he says the only way to halt it is to control one's anger. So again, I guess we don't need extra commentary for this, to see all of the various words that went, starting from the Rishonim, going to the Zohar HaKadosh, Api Nigel and Api Kabbalah, from any aspect. This is what the Ramak is telling us, that this is all a great part of a halachta bedrocha to emulate the ways of Hashem, and that is to try to temper and to neutralize the inyan of kas, the inyan of anger. And it's not only our own anger, but also we're able to appease others who are involved in that situation. Sefer called Abayis HaYehudi. Sefer Abayis HaYehudi brings down, he says that when the Tzemach Tzedek, a few Lubavitcher Rebbes ago, was a great goyin. The Tzemach Tzedek, his name is Rav Nachum Mendel. He said, before he allowed himself ever to get angry, so to speak, he would consult the sources. In other words, he would delve into the sources to determine if anger was warranted. By the time he completed his research, the anger subsided. That's the idea. Don't jump right away to act on it. Research the situation a little bit. Hopefully by the time you're finished researching it, the anger in the middle will subside. Usually it is quick impulse. You're driven to do something in an instant. Not much thinking. Allow yourself a few moments of thinking, and then you'll have a totally different attitude. Matter of fact, it was both interesting from two schools. It was Reb Yitzchak of Vurke, the Vurke Rebbe, Reb Yitzchak of Vurke, the great Polish Rebbes. At the same time also Reb Simcha Zissel of Keln, the altar from Keln. It is said that they had a special garment, that a special beged that was designated as an anger coat, which meant that they would not allow themselves to become angry unless they first put on that beged. Look, according to the Zohar, because you become a different person, so you need a different mode of dress maybe. You don't get angry until you become that other person. You're not the same person. They would not allow themselves to get angry until they put on that beged. Now, he says, by the time that they located and pulled out the garment, their anger totally subsided. This was all type of strategies, you know, that people would do for themselves, but worked for them, in order to figure out ways of how to be able to control immediate anger. Interesting thing is, you know, Baruch Hashem, again, we live in a world, you know, Horace Farm are printed. Every day now, you find out every month a new Shas even comes out. By this name and by that name, everyone trying to outdo the other Shas. After World War II, the Schulzinger Publishing Company published a beautiful edition of Shas. For those days, it was a gewaltig Shas. Schulzinger Company. So they published a beautiful edition of the Shas, which was the first of its kind in the United States. Among the early buyers of this set was Moshe Feinstein. Moshe Feinstein was one of the earliest who bought a set. It said when Moshe was out of his room one day, a Talmud accidentally spilled ink on the open volume. This beautiful, beautiful Shas. He felt terrible, and he feared that Moshe's reaction, who knows what it's going to be. Moshe returned and he sees the Gemara. He smiled and he says, blue is my favorite color. This is Rav Moshe. I expect everybody to act exactly that way. Look upon him here, we have a stickle of an idea of how Gedoyli Yisrael, who are great novel, of course, in Torah and Avodas Hashem, this is the Yisrael HaYisrael, this is their Midos as well. All of the great ones. It's a fascinating thing that David HaMelech says in Tehillim. He says, Hashem Haliso Min She'oil Nafshi. He says, Rabbeinu Shloilam, that you have raised up my neshama from Sheol. Sheol is what's called the lower world. Like Gehenna. Hashem ha'lisa min Sheol nafshi. You have raised up my neshama from the lower world, from Sheol, from the nether world. So it's interesting, the Radak explains. The Radak says, Sheol, the lower world, is a reference to Gehenna. Gehenna is a place which is purgatory, where the neshama becomes purified. Before the neshama is able to reach its ultimate menucha, its ultimate resting place, the neshama has to become purified from its travails on this world. So, the Melech is Mispala Hashem, Halisa Mishael Nafshi, you have raised up my neshama from the lower world, which means from Gehenna. So the obvious kasha is that HaMelech was still alive when he said that posik. The HaMelech was alive. So if David HaMelech was alive when he said the posik, so certainly he could not have descended to Gehenna as yet. If that's the case, so what does he mean, Hashem Halisa Mishael Nafshi? He's alive. So the Mir Mashgiach, Rabbi Ruchem Lavovitz, Rabbi Ruchem said as follows. He said, Yeruchim derives from here that suffering in Gehenna, he says, is possible even during one's lifetime. Hear that? You find out something new. That's possible for a person to suffer in Gehenna even while you're still alive. How? So he points out quite simply. Because if you open up a Gemara in the Dorim Dav Chobeis, Chazal say, Kol HaKoyes, Kol Mine Gehenna Shotin Boy. Interesting Gemara. That whoever gets angry, it says not one Gehenna. It says, it's an interesting thing, he's subject to all forms of Gehenna. So Abraham explains, and he says as follows. He says that flames of frustration, yes, flames, he says, of anguish, flames of despair, which a person festers within his heart, he says these are equivalent to fires of Gehenna. These type of attitudes that a person harbors and creates within himself. And therefore, by the way, he points out that throughout Sefer Tehillim, he says, most references that we find to the lower world, he says, refers to this type of a conflagration. So I'm talking about the Gehenna after 120. He's talking about Gehenna during a lifetime. And David HaMelech, therefore, while he's alive, he pays gratitude and gives hoidoa to Hashem for lifting his spirits, not allowing him to fall into his own created Gehenna. And therefore he thanks Hashem. He says, Hashem Halisa Mishael Nafshi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you lifted my spirits from the raging, he says, from this raging type of flame that consumes a person who is depressed. By instilling a person's heart with simcha, you can also, the flip side, you are enjoying what is the equivalent of Gan Eden in this world. So you can have Gan Eden during your lifetime, and you can have Gehenna during one's lifetime. In other words, what Yeruchim is saying is, Rabbeisai, Gehenna is self-inflicted during one's lifetime. Gehenna is self-inflicted. Whether it's the result sometimes of a lack of Amun and Hashem, which leads, of course, to an all-encompassing type of a depression. A person feels he's lost. Lack of Amun. Or it could be sometimes a particular act, which could be a sinful type of a behavior, which results also from a lack of recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Supreme Being, and therefore he loses control. So he says, the same way, when we understand that, so realize that there's many things that in fact HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us the koiches and the powers. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not ask anything from us that is not within our power. It's not easy. But of course it means that somewhere within our koiches, if we're willing to work at it, like anything that's really worth it, you have to work at it. And that's what David HaMelech is referring to, Hashem Halisa. Halisa Mishael Nafshi, one of the most very popular, you know, in the Hasidish world, is one of the legends that we should set over from Remechel Zlotchever. Rebbe Zlotchever is one of the great Rabbeim of Hasidus. Had a very expensive pair of tefillin that he had b'Yerusha from his father. His father was Reb Yitzchak of Drobich. Reb Yitzchak of Drobich was a great, great, tremendous tzaddik. To a point that the Baal Shem Tov said, that when I first met, way, way back, when I met Reb Yitzchak of Drobich, he said he had one of the lowest neshamas. Neshamas have different madrigas. But he succeeded in elevating it to one of the greatest neshamas in the generation. That's an aside. Reb Yitzchak of Drobich. And he had a son, the great Remechel of Zlotchev, one of the greatest rabbeim of all time. And he arshed this pair of tefillin from his father, a very expensive pair of tefillin. As a result, many, many Hasidim who were very wealthy, so they proposed many, many offers of offering to buy those tefillin for a lot of money. But they didn't make a difference. He would not sell it, no matter what the price was. There was no price. In spite of the fact that he had no real parnosa for himself, as a matter of fact, he lived in poverty and it was quite difficult. But he would never hear of it. It never would be oilal adas, it would never enter his mind that he would allow himself to sell those tefillin. In the meantime, he had a wife and family to support, and his wife, as every wife would do, she day after day, she came to him and said, listen, he says, how long are we going to be able to live like this? You have these choshev tefillin. You know what? You can be yotzei, you can wear any pair of tefillin. Mitzvah is any pair of tefillin. Because you have some sentimental reason. But there's no parnosa. There's nothing to eat. She tried to pressure him that he should finally sell his tefillin. But to no avail. He still was stubborn and he would not sell those tefillin. 1 year, there was a shortage of esrogim. 1 year there was a shortage of esrogim, and it already came very close to Sukkis. And in Zlotchev, the town of Zlotchev, there was no esrog to be gotten. It's not like today, you know, transportation, communication, there's no problem really. Couldn't get an esrog. And there was one particular person who happened to pass by the town, and he had a beautiful esrog for sale. One esrog. The end result was, Remechel Zlotchev sees it and realized he has no money. How could he afford it? I can't afford a cheaper esrog. How's he going to afford it? He had a flash. He says, I have these expensive tefillin, he says. I says, I have these expensive tefillin. I have an opportunity now to acquire this esrog. And he went ahead and he decided to sell those very expensive tefillin, those choshev tefillin that he would never sell. But in order to be able to acquire this new mitzvah esrog, he went, bought the esrog, and he did it besimcha. He's giving it up. He's giving up the tefillin, besimcha, for the mitzvah esrog. And his wife finds out about it. She sees he's so happy. She finds out the great mitzvah is that v'koyv the tefillin to buy an esrog. She knows that for the last 10 years she's trying to pressure him, you know, to sell the tefillin, to bring some bread into the house, and he's not willing to do it. And now he went ahead and he gave up his tefillin in order to buy an esrog. She was very upset, and she said to him, the whole world says you're a big tzaddik. He says, what kind of a tzaddik are you? He says, you have no heart. He says, you see that your family, he says, are starving. He says, you never wanted to sell your tefillin. And now you went ahead and selling the tefillin. He said, for an esrog, he says, this is what you did, he says. She was so upset, she went and took the esrog, and she broke the pitten. Remechel Zlotchev said as follows. He says, Rabbeinu Shlomo, tefillin I no longer have. An esrog I also don't have. With the sultan wants, I should lose my temper also. That I will not give him. It's enough I don't have my tefillin. It's enough I don't have an esrog. I want to keep my temper. The sultan tries me, I should lose that also. I'm not going to give him all three. I don't have tefillin, I don't have an esrog. They say that in Shemayim, it made such a tremendous reshim. Tremendous reshim, the fact that he was able to control his anger and did not react against his wife in this incident, that Shumayim said there is more schar for the last incident than the schar of selling tefillin to buy the esrog. It's tremendous Mesiris Nefesh on his part. Willing to sell his tefillin in order to buy the esrog. As great as the Mesiris Nefesh it was and a sign for him to do that, it was even a greater Mesiris Nefesh the fact that he was able to control his anger. This is again, this is what Ramak is talking about. This is the idea of a halachta bedrochov, to follow in the ways of Hashem. And to be able to emulate Hashem when it comes to our Hanhoge. Now, the Ramak concluded, as he said, in order that we are successful, in order that we should be able to be successful, it behooves that we basically perfect our own behavior. And as he pointed out, that kol sheruach habriya es noiche heimenu, he says, ruach hamokem noiche heimenu. Someone's behavior, if the spirit of the people, right, are pleased with him, then the spirit of Hashem is also noiche heimenu. It's an interesting thing. We know that one of the lavim in the Yeseres Hadibris, it says, Lo yisiso es shem Hashem lashov. A person has to be very careful not to utter Hashem's name in vain. And we know what a serious thing it is to use Hashem's name in vain. Certainly, if it would be a false oath, a shvua, or a shvua shov, in many different ways, is if somebody has something that's clearly gold, and he swears that this is gold, a shvua shov, everybody can see it's gold. It's a shua for nothing, shua shav, and so on and so forth. Loisisos shem Hashem lashov. So in Sifrei Chassidus, it is pointed out there's also a deeper meaning. Loisisos shem Hashem lashov. It means to say is that every yid, as the Ramak started out to say in the very first shiurim in the beginning, that the avoid of a yid is to live up to the Tzelem Elokim. Man was created in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That demands a very special, high-level type of behavior, because you have the Tzelem Elokim. which means that every person has on his face the image of Hashem. He is carrying the image of Hashem. It means that Hashem's name is upon him. If a person behaves in a way that is contrary, which contradicts the picture that he represents, he's disgracing the Shem Hashem. It's similar to a situation if you have, let's say, a policeman. While he's wearing a uniform, the fact that he's wearing a uniform, he has to be careful that he behaves. It's not just a question if he steps out of line, doing something which is against society, but he's disgracing the uniform as well. That is an extra discretion that's taken into consideration. We, Rabbeisai, are carrying the uniform of Hashem. And if we don't behave in the way that Hashem expects us to behave, in a way that brings the Kiddush Hashem in the world, it's not just the act itself in isolation that we have done. We have disgraced the uniform. We are carrying Hashem's name in vain. Loisisa means to carry. Loisisa Shem Hashem Lashov. Disgracing the uniform. The uniform is, we are created in the image of Hashem. We are reflecting the image of Hashem. And that demands a certain mode of behavior. That is the Shem Hashem. So there's a fascinating, very fascinating, it's something that, you know, you expect to read somewhere in some sort of a Maisa, you know, in a Maisa Bich or some sort of a Sefer. The Maisa, it's a Medrash. It's a Medrash. And the Medrash Agoda writes as follows. It says, there was a Maisa of a Yid. There was a Maisa of a Yid who came to a town, to a strange town, that was an Erev Shabbos, the Medrash tells us. It's brought down in Shemois. So he comes, it's before Shabbos, it's like an hour or two before Shabbos. The hour was late. He comes in through a carriage, through a wagon, and he had a wallet filled with money. No, it's Shabbos. Someone has to find a place to put down his wallet. Lamaise, he doesn't know anyone. He doesn't know anyone. Who is he going to entrust his wallet with? Where is he going to put his valuables? And in the meantime, Shabbos is approaching. He doesn't know what to do. He's not going to walk around all Shabbos carrying something. It's the Dover Muktzah. So it's a very short time, so he figures what he's going to do is, he's going to go, let's say, to the base of Medrash. And he's going to look at the faces of people. The Medrash tells us that. And he'll pick out a person that seems to have the most honest face. Right? And he'll give him the money. And that person will know what to do with it. And Matzah Shabbos, he'll go in and he'll retrieve the money. So the Medrash tells us, in fact, this is what he did. He goes to the base of Medrash and looks around and he sees a Yid with a big hadras ponim. He says, a Yid, Mestoma with a beard. And he sees him there in a corner, he says, wearing a talis and tefillin. Mamish at the end of the day already. So this Yid appears to be hours and hours in talis and tefillin. Spends most of the day in talis and tefillin. And Yid is sitting and learning. He's sitting and learning, wearing talis and tefillin, and it's late afternoon, Friday afternoon. He says to himself, this cannot be a better person whom to entrust my money. And he's very quick to go to that person, and he asks him, can you do me a favor? He explains, he says, I'm a stranger here in town, obviously you don't know me. He says, maybe you take my wallet. And at Shishem, he says, Motzei Shabbos, I'll come and I'll take it from you. Kachave. He goes and he takes it. And he's very happy, like he thanks HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says he was able to find, he says, a trustworthy person, able to dump his wallet. He feels very comfortable. This person is wearing tefillin. Tefillin is the Shem Hashem. V'roi kol am ha'yoretz ki Shem Hashem nikra alecha. Shem's name is upon you. Yid, talis and tefillin, ahad responim. So the Maisa situation is that comes to Motzei Shabbos, he comes to the Yid, and he asks for his wallet. And he denies it outright, blatantly to his face. He says, "Lo hoya dvar moilam." He says, "Lahadam, never gave me. I don't know you. I never saw you. There's no etzer." What could he do? So the Yid says, "The Medrash." He goes into a corner, and he raises his hands and he speaks to the Rabbeinu Shalom. He speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Medrash says, "He says, Rabbeinu Shalom. He says, I did not deposit my wallet. He says to this man." I deposited my wallet in your hands because this person was wearing tefillin. He was wearing a talis. He was learning your Torah. That means he represents you. And when I deposited my wallet into his hands, I did not give it to him. I gave it to you. What am I supposed to do now? The Medrash says the words of this Yid come out of the purity of his heart, made a tremendous Rosh in Shemayim. And Shemayim determined that in fact this type of behavior is a tremendous Chilul Hashem. This is a violation of Lo Yisisa Eschem Hashem Lashov. This person was wearing tefillin, carrying the Shem Hashem on his posture, on his head. This is carrying Hashem's name in vain. Says the Medrash, no more, no less, that night in a dream, Eliyahu HaNavi comes to a dream to the person, to the victim, and says to the victim as follows, in a dream, the wife of this man who denied your wallet, he says, knows where the wallet is. When the husband is not home, you go to the wife. And you go to the wife in the morning and ask her to give you the wallet. And in order that she should be willing to give it to you, to believe, in fact, that her husband instructed you to come to her, give her two simonim that no one in the world knows, only she and her husband. Give these two simonim, two statements of fact. She'll know the only way that you could have known it is from the husband, and she'll give you the wallet. And what are these two things? These are the two simonim that she will believe when you utter these two simonim, that it was the husband that instructed you to give it, to come to her, because only she and the husband knows. No one in the world knows this. Number one, Leil HaSeder, this past Pesach, they both ate chometz. That is, Leil HaSeder, they both ate chometz. The second simon, the night of Yom Kippur, Kol Nidra night, they both ate a lavish meal. So when the wife heard that, she knew that nobody knew this. There had to be. She gave him the wallet. Eliyahu HaNavi, Rabbi Isai, gave Davke di Simonim. Why Davke di Simonim? Because the Nekudi is because where there is a pigam such as this, because there was a deficiency. This man stole someone's wallet. You have to realize there is a tremendous deficiency Ben Odom Lamokim as well. You cannot separate the two. Ben Odom Lamokim and Odom Lachaveiroi, they go together. If this man was able to steal the other person's wallet, he can't be trusted Ben Adam Lamakim either. That's the message, that the Medrash, that Eliyahu HaNavi, that's why he gave this type of simonim. Because the other two simonim, these two simonim were in the areas of Ben Adam Lamakim. What came out was the area of Ben Adam Lachaveiro, that was the exposed chelik. But now what comes out is that this person, in fact, the tefillin, the Talmud Torah, the Talis, it didn't mean anything. It didn't mean anything. This was Loisiso, Shem Hashem Lashov. This is what we find out. So when we find out, this is the idea. Kol shiruach habriya is noicha hemenu, ruach hamokam noicha hemenu. If it's not ruach habriya, person stole somebody else's wallet. Clearly, it's not the spirit of the people with you. Spirit of the people not going to be pleasant with such a person. Such a person who is in such violation of Ben Odom Lachaveroi. If it's not ruach habriya is noicha hemenu, then it's not ruach hamokam either. And in fact, that was the case over there. That is the message that the Medrash tells us, as we see from the outcome of this Maisa. So we see the connection. There's Ruach HaBriyas Noich HaEmenu, that person should conduct his ways that are pleasant in the eyes of people, and that goes hand in hand. If that is okay, then Ruach HaMokim is also Noich HaEmenu. So it's a very fascinating thing to realize. It's a fascinating thing to realize when you talk about these things, the connection between the Yodom HaChaveroi, that the Mishnah connects with the Ben Odom Lamokoi. The fact is that this is nothing new. And the same way that we saw in the Medrash, right, the Medrash told us, from one thing to the other, you say someone maybe would not be so conscientious when it comes to the area of business, maybe would not be so true, would not be so emesic, and yet we find how this borders in the Ben Odom Lamokim too. There cannot be real purity in Ben Odom Lamokim, because either you believe in Hashem and in the Torah, or you don't believe in it. It's like you can't pick and choose. Sometimes we fall through, it's true. It's the Yetzer Hara. But then again, there's Yetzer Hara in every area. So this is the test of time. It's a munin kolatei rekule, and therefore we have to strive for everything. You can't start saying this chelik yes and this chelik not. David HaMelech, during his lifetime, suffered as a victim from pursuers of all kinds. In the area of his kingdom, in the area of his life. It's not only that Shaul HaMelech, who tried to kill him. He also suffered a lot from the Lashon Hara of Doeg HaDoimi. He suffered a lot from other enemies as well. He suffered from the Eitzes, of Achitofel, who Achitofel gave advice to Avshalom, right? Who rebelled against his father. Avshalom rebelled against David HaMelech. As we see, Mizmer LeDavid Bevarchoy Mipnei Avshalom Benoi, that the Melech talks about when he was fleeing from his own son Avshalom, was threatening to kill him, and he says, Hashem Morabu Tzorai. The Melech talks about all that he suffered. Very difficult life David HaMelech had, in every area. Who do you think these pursuers were? Who do you think these Raitfim were? Some lowlifes on the street. These Raitfim were the Gedoyle Hador. These were Gedoyle Talmide Chachomim. And by the way, they counted as chelik of the Rosh HaSanhedrin. Hashem Urabu Tzorai, the Ramelech talks about, are the enemies. For example, Doeg HaDoimi. Doeg HaDoimi is referred to in Shmuel Aleph. He is referred to Avir HaRoyim Ashel Yishoel. Tremendous leader. Great Talmud Chochom. Achitofel was a Yoyitz of David, as pointed out Shmuel Beis. Nevertheless, he caused David a lot of pain. And with Keneged, these people, David HaMelech, he expresses himself in Tehillim Chof Beis, and he says, Onoichi toilas v'lo yish. I'm like a worm, not a human being. You know, a worm, everybody steps on a worm. Very easy, step on a worm. Everybody can take advantage of a worm. The Melech says, Onoichi toilas v'lo yish. Of course, that speaks about the anivus of David HaMelech. What am I? I am nothing. I'm a toilas. I'm just like a worm. As lowly as a worm is. But the Kotzker Rebbe used to say, very famous word, says, Anoichi toilas v'lo yish means, David HaMelech is talking about those people, those great people, so-called, who are pursuing me. Seems that these people are only, seem to excel in the areas of Ben Odom Lamokim. But Ben Odom Lachaveroi, to write if a fellow Jew, especially someone like David HaMelech, they're not bothered about it. So they seem to emphasize the area of the life of Ben Odom Lamokim. But the right of David HaMelech they're not bothered about. Ben Odom Lachaveira they're not concerned about. So David HaMelech as follows, so says the Kotzker Rebbe. These great people who are so meticulous and they are so erlich and try to be so perfect in the area of Ben Odom Lamokim, imagine serving them a meal. And you have a little worm that's crawling right through their between the spaghetti somewhere. You can be sure the quickest thing they would do is just move the plate off the table. They wouldn't have a havim in it. They wouldn't have even an inkling, right, touching that food. There's a worm, non-kosher. You can't eat that. They have problems of eating worm. They wouldn't eat worms. Says David HaMelech, they have no problem of eating a worm. They wouldn't eat a worm, but they would eat a living person that they don't care about. The right of David HaMelech. They're worried about a worm, they're worried about. About mensch, ofes, and lebe de gehait, they're not worried about. They have no problem eating a live person. A small worm, they have a problem. Says David HaMelech, the Kotzker Rebbe, humorously, Onoichi telas v'loyish, let me be like a worm, not a person. They don't eat worms. If my pursuer would look at me like a little worm, right, they'd stay away. But they have no problem consuming me, eating up a live person. This is the idea, this is what we find. The end result, of course, was the end result was that Doeg HaDoim in Achitofel, as the end, it proves that everything in the life that was tainted, everything was tainted. And even in fact, their Torah and even other mitzvahs which are Ben Odom Lamokim as well, and deep down your Shemayim was lacking. Because it goes together. Kol Sheruach HaBriyo Yisnoicheh Hemeno, as the Ramak points out, then it's Ruach Hamokim Noichemen from the Mishnah Novis. Interesting thing is, it doesn't start from here. This whole attitude where people think that they can beat tzaddikim and yet step directly, bemazed, knowingly and willfully when it comes to the feelings of people. Somehow they think that's nothing. But in any other area, Ben Odom Lamokim, they are very frum and they're very erlich. And in their minds, they think they are tzaddikim. Starts out, believe it or not, it starts from Sodom. By Sodom, of course, and this again is an observation of the Kotzker Rebbe. The Kotzker Rebbe used to say, let me just make a hagdama. You know, B'chaim Briske used to say, B'chaim, of course, was very far from being a chosid. B'chaim Briske used to say, Ich bin nicht kachusid, he said, but if I would be a chosid, I'd be a chosid of the Kotzker Rebbe, because Kotzker was sharp.
Very, very sharp. Very analytical. The Avnezer, his son-in-law, writes in the Hakdama to the Eglital that all my Torah, all my Goyness, they got from my father-in-law, which was the Kotzke Rebbe. The Avnezer is recognized Goyna worldwide, and he says all of his Torah he got from the Kotzke Rebbe. Pozik says, V'anshi sedoim, it says, Roim b'chatoim l'Hashem oid. Torah says clearly how low they were. The Anshi Sedoim were Roim, they were bad, they were evil, v'chatoim, sinners. Natstam, ma'oid. Chatoim l'Hashem ma'oid. Extremely, extremely, extremely bad people. Chatoim, extremely sinners. This is what the Torah clearly tells us. But interesting thing, so if I were to ask you, in which area are they such great sinners? They're described as great sinners, interestingly enough, that it's in the area of hashchos and midis, in character traits. That's the emphasis. We're talking about midis, character traits. Not talking at idol worship. A lot of terrible things that people can do. The Torah says chatoim. The Torah says that they were roim. Ma'oid is dafki in the area of midis. Dafki in the area of character traits. You have to realize that Sedoim was strategically situated, as it were. The Pasuk describes it was Bekikar Hayarden. It was there, Bekikar Hayarden was a very fruitful land. It was a very fruitful land. It was a blessed land. Things grew in abundance. Pasuk says in Iyev, Eretz mimeno yotzolechem. Imagine. Tremendous atzlocha. Great atzlocha. Eretz mimeno yotzolechem. You had enough bread to import to other places. Not only that, what does the Pasuk say in Bereishis? In Chumash Bereishis, Yud Gimel, Kigana Hashem Keretz Mitzrayim. There's a lot of water. One of the essential things, right, that a country needs, that a place needs, you have to have water, agriculture. They had it all. Everything was gewaldig, everything was... They wanted to keep out immigrants. Can you imagine such a place? So what happens is, everybody wants to come live in such a place. Why do you want to come there? You have to have choice where to live. You're going to live in such a place. Fruitful land. Panosa. Right? No hunger, no famine. Type of situation was very common in those days. Sedoim was a gewaldig place, a tremendous place. So what did they do? So they conducted emotive behavior, the Pasuk tells us. And the Gemara comes along in Sanhedrin and gives us a little bit behind the scenes. That's how fortunate we are always when we have Torah Shebaal Peh. That gives us a little bit of a glimpse of what's doing behind the scenes that you can never see when you open up a Chumash. And the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuftes, they said, Lo nitein le'oivrim vishovim. He says, we'll make sure to keep out people. The lotion was, Boyu v'nishkach toiras regel me'artzeinu. We want to abolish travelers coming through our land. How do you do that? How do you do that? The way to do that is, he says, to make sure that no one gives any lodging, no one extends a meal to any traveler, to any wayfarer, to any stranger. No hospitality. They discouraged all of that to the point is where we are told that when they found that there was a passerby, when they smelled that this person had money on him, they wanted his money. They just didn't want him. So they would sort of like invite him in and say, why don't you come in and spend some time with us? You must be weary and tired. They'd strategically sit him down next to a leaning wall. And when the stranger sat down, they would topple the wall over him and then steal his money. He was finished. This is just one of the many, many things that they would do. And of course, as we know, as we are told in Chazal, the young girl, what was her sin? The young girl is that out of rachmanis of her heart that she fed some poor people. So they smeared her body with honey, which tracked the swarms of bees until she was bitten to death and she didn't survive. So the Kotzker Rebbe says, believe it or not, these lowly people still thought of themselves that they're tzaddikim. Because it's only the area ben Odom Lachaveiro, he says, that they did whatever they did. But in the other areas, he says, they were perfect. In the areas of Kashrus, just use that as an example, not they. Fine. In any other area, ben Odom Lamokoim, he says, they were makbid on it. And the Kotzker Rebbe therefore takes the posuk and puts the punctuation or the commas this way. Let's go back to the posuk again. The posuk says, V'anshi sedoim roim v'chatoim l'ashem ma'oid. Says Kotzker Rebbe, no. We put the comma over here. V'anshi sedoim roim v'chatoim. Comma.
The Anshe Sedoim were Roim V'chatoim to people, because Lashem Oid, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they were great. Lashem Oid. To the Rabbi Yishloim, they were totally committed. They were Roim V'chatoim with Benodim L'chaveroi. The Anshe Sedoim Roim V'chatoim. But Lashem, to the Rabbi Yishloim Oid. You can have such an attitude. Still to this day. That people think it's okay. That's one part of Torah that we can separate from another part of Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the other hand, did not put the comma there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the comma, the punctuation at the end. If they have this attitude toward Olam L'Chaveroi, then they are Roim V'Chatoim L'Hashem. You're picking on me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're picking on another Yid, another person. You're picking on me. That's the fight against. It's not just against that person. You're taking me on. Again, just reiterate what Ramak says from the Mishnah over. He's called Shruach HaBriyo is Noicha Emeno. So then it says Ruach HaMokom is Noicha Emeno. That's what we find out. And that's why it says, by the way, called Shruach HaBriyo. You know what Ruach HaBriyo is? The spirit of the people. Many times you have people showing a friendly face to other people, not because they really have an inner feeling. Sometimes people have the attitude, they have their own negius. Maybe it's flattery. So you have a pleasantness sometimes between two people. That's not called really Ben Odom HaChaveroi. The Loshon is called Sheruach HaBriyos. Ruach is something, the spirit of the people should, which that's what they really believe. If you really believe, you have this really good feeling about another person. It's not you're just doing it, you know, mechanically because you have some sort of a chesed or you have stand to gain. It's called Sheruach HaBriyos. Ruach HaBriyos means it's not just on the outside. It's a nachas ruach, a true nachas ruach. That should be genuine. That should be your attitude. Sometimes people do nice things to other people. Not that they care about them. They don't care at all. They care about themselves. The other person is just a vehicle to promote themselves. So they're nice to the other people. They even send them a present or something. Maybe they want to be invited to the fancy wedding coming up in 5 months or something. Yeah. So they mean themselves. That's what we're talking about. Koma kosher ruach habriyos. Ruach habriyos means to say is where it's true. It's a true nachas ruach. That's a true feeling. It's a genuine feeling. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu was pleased also. That's the kind of attitude that we should have one towards the other. And maybe, that's why in this particular phrase, HaKadosh Baruch Hu of all the titles is called Mokoim. Called Shiruach HaBriyos Noichemenu Ruach HaMokoim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Reboinu Shel Olam. There are many, many titles how Chazal referred to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here he is called Mokoim. You know why? Because Mokoim means HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees everywhere. Many times you do nice things on the outside, but you don't mean it deep down. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the depth of your heart from where it's coming from. That's what Mokoim means. If you want, it should be Ruach HaMokoim Noichemenu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should really see the place where it's coming from, that behavior. It has to be Ruach HaBriyos. It should be a true, genuine Nachas Ruach. The type of behavior and attitude that we have to other people. That is, in fact, that is the message. That is the side of the behavior that one yeet towards the other. So we conclude really that this is what we have learned over here. And I just want to tell you that Rabbi Avadya Yosef once pointed out, and it's very interesting, they put out, I guess from some shmuzin, two thick volumes on many, many different topics from the many, many years, you know, the various drushes and situations. So he brings a very interesting thing. He talks about that man says to himself many times, and he throws up his hands in the air and says, I can't take the challenge. It's over my head. I'm not able to do it. And therefore you give up. You don't even try. You lose before you start it. The emphasis is many of the challenges that we find so difficult, we bring upon ourselves. And we have to honestly look straight in the eye and ask ourselves, were we confronted with these challenges, which it happens, or did we bring the challenges upon ourselves? And that's a big difference. Because at least what we can do, if we cannot meet the challenges head on, then maybe we can avoid putting ourselves in situations, maybe not go to certain places, maybe not read certain materials, maybe not focus our eyes in certain areas. Maybe we are responsible for finding ourselves in this situation.
As they say, the Bris Kerov, by the way, the Bris Kerov once wanted to hire someone to transport him from one city to another. This particular person was not a very experienced balagula, not very experienced. But nevertheless, he proposed to take the Rov, to take him to one city to the other. And the Rebbe says, before I'm going to use you, he says, I want you to answer a simple question. You're not an experienced driver, wagon driver. He says, what do you do? He says, what are you going to do when, he says, when it's a muddy road and the wagons of your wheels, the wheels of the wagon, he says, get stuck and you can't pull forward. He says, well, he says, I'll stop the wagon, he says, and I'm going to unload and then have the horses pull. And the Biskrov says, and what do you do, he says, when the wheels have sunken so deep that the horse just not have the power to pull the wagon out? And he offers another piece of advice. And the Biskrov keeps asking more and more, and what would you do in an ultimate situation, he says? What would you do in an ultimate situation when you have exhausted all of your accessories and all of the ideas and you're still stuck? He says, what do you do? He says, under such circumstances, I don't know what to do. So the wagon driver asks the Biskrov and says, Rebbe, what do you suggest? I suggest you don't get stuck in the first place, he says. He says, drive in a way, he says, to make sure that you keep out of the wrong roads, he says. That's part of our attitude in our Avodas Hashem. Make sure not to get stuck in the first place. Because once you're stuck, that's a totally different kind of a challenge. But Avad Yosef said the following, and I conclude with this. He says, this rich man, he said, who had a horse, and he was driving, he says, from one town to the other. So he's riding his horse, and on the road he meets this beggar, destitute, Oni, who flags him down and says, please, some alms for the poor, maybe you have some piece of bread or anything that I haven't eaten for days. And of course, he had rachmonis, he had mercy, and he stops the horse, gets off the horse, unties one of the bags, and he gives him a piece of bread, and he climbs back on the horse and he's ready to go on his way. And the Oni says to him, just a moment, I'm going the same direction that you're going. There's room for two on the horse. Give me a ride. I'd like to hitch a ride with you. Take me on the horse. And the Yosher says, why not? But you know what? If I'm going to take you with me, I might as well give you a little job. You drive the horse. In other words, you put him in the driver's seat. I gave him the reins. And the Yosher sat behind him. He figured, you know, just he can just relax. And have the Oni just drive the horse to town. Why not? I'm doing him a toive, let him do a toive back for me. And they come into town. As they're coming to town, it's time to disembark. And the poor man refuses to get off the horse. And the Yosha says to him, he says, destination. He says, it's time to get off. He says, oh, no. It's my horse. But it's my horse. I took you with me. And he begins to yell, this poor man, everybody can see his tattered clothing. And the townspeople coming. Look at this chutzpah, he says. This rich man can afford to buy his own horse. I did him a favor. I gave him a ride. And now he claims it's his horse. He's trying to steal the horse from me. And the Yosha says, it's not true. The other way around. I gave him a ride. He's trying to steal the horse from me. So finally, they have to go to the Rav. Let the Rav hear both sides and decide. Whose horse is it? And the Rav hears both sides of the story. The Oni says that it's his horse. And the Yosher is trying to steal from him. And the Yosher says, no, I offered him a ride. It's my horse. And Rav says to the Yosher like this, listen, I can see, reading between the lines, it seems, he says, that you're probably telling the truth. But the problem is, he says, you brought the problem by putting him in the driver's seat and you're sitting in the back. You should never put him in the driver's seat. Now you're stuck with a problem. You should have sat in the driver's seat. The Yetzer Hara Rabbeisai, many times we put him in the driver's seat. We're the cause of the problem. Many Yetzer Haras would not have been here if we wouldn't have put him in the driver's seat. We say, Al Chet Shechotonu Lefanecho B'Yetzer Hara. What kind of special Al Chet? Every Abeir is with a Yetzer Hara. Why a special Al Chet? Al Chet Shechotonu Lefanecho B'Yetzer Hara. Because sometimes we brought the Yetzer Hara upon ourselves. The usual mashal is, if someone is thirsty, you have to drink water. But if you medafke eat salted peanuts to make yourself thirsty, then there's a different reason why you have to drink water. You put yourself in that situation. Many Yetzer Haras we brought on ourselves. That needs a special al-chet. Not just the end, the result, the avera. This is the avodah of a yid. At least to conduct his ways, where he's able to observe not to fall into the nesoyin, not to fall, when it might be just a little bit too late. This is the avodah that we learn from the Ramak. And let's remember, kol shiruach habriyah esnoicho hemenu, then ruach hamoker noicho hemenu.